Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. It's going to be good tonight. Man, it's like 180 degrees I got to preach at. It's like crazy. Come on now. Let's just start letting Reed preach, man. Preaching now, bro. All right, you there? Come on, Luke chapter 5, you there?
Yeah.
So it was. Say, so it was.
So it was.
All right. As the multitude pressed about him, who's him?
Jesus.
Okay. To hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, and saw two boats standing or alongside the shore by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Say, they gave up.
They gave up.
Quitters,
man. They're like, bump this, I'm washing my net. So they're washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Peter's or Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. So he's like, push me out a little bit. Jesus understood just science, and this is one of the reasons why he was pushed out into the sea, so that when he spoke, it actually amplified his voice and people could hear him better. How many of you know, like, you can be like a mile across a lake in the middle of the summer and people are talking, you can hear them as clear as they're standing 10 feet from you. So people get in fights in the summertime all the time, and I'll be on the lake and you can just hear each other talk, like they're like right there. And they're across the lake. And so Jesus understood that, so they push him out so he could speak to the multitudes, and because they're thronging onto him and pushing him, and he needed some room. So does that make sense? It has nothing to do with my message tonight. Just putting some context why Jesus is asking to be pushed out. He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. I like that. Jesus sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And it goes on and on. But go ahead and go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. It says this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, and as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. A lot of big words. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay. A lot being said there. Let's just start at verse 2 again. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's the key verse for tonight. Does that sound good? Yeah. That sound good? The reason why I do a story and then a scripture is because I want to always teach from what Jesus does. And I not that I won't ever teach from something else or somewhere else, but I want to be able to teach from what from a story to help you guys kind of get a picture of what's happening. And then always translate it into our language and our understanding after Jesus died and what these things mean to us. So I'll always pick out another scripture like this one in 2 Peter chapter 1. And 2 Peter chapter 1 gives us a picture of what is happening in Luke chapter 5. And so we're just going to look at this story in Luke chapter 5 and just relate it to our lives as Christians. Does that make sense? Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful, God, for how good you are to us. God, that you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God, that you've adopted us as sons and daughters and called us your own. God, that we who were once not a people and now are your people, God, we're so thankful. God, we're thankful, God, that there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ, God, and that we have been set free from the law of sin that continues to corrupt us and to hold us down. But, Lord, we've been liberated to live with you and to pursue you and to love you. And God, you've forgiven us and washed us and wiped us clean. And, Father, we thank you, and that's our reason why we're here today. And, Father, we're asking, Lord, as I teach and preach, God, that your word would be communicated accurately, God, that you would convict our hearts and encourage us, Lord, and that we'd walk away full of hope, God, full of faith, and God, abounding in love toward you and toward one another. God, we thank you so much, God, that your grace is sufficient, and that is what we rely on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I've told you my story a little bit before about when I went on my honeymoon. How many of you guys remember that story about when I'm on my honeymoon? Haven't told that story in a while. What was wrong with that story? It was a long story. It was amazing. One of the things that happened when we got to, where was I? Cabo San Lucas, is... You know, you see pictures on the internet of the hotel you're going to or something like that, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. You know, then you show up, and it's like exceedingly far better than you'd even thought it was. You know, like the things that like are like bright are more bright, and the things that are clean are even more clean, and the drinks that look like they quench your thirst even more than it looks like it quenches your thirst. And so I just noticed that that things just were better. So I just started expecting the food's just going to be good. And I started expecting that, man, this is all going to be good. When it's all inclusive, I just thought about how I could just eat and drink all day long. Because I just wanted to just try and contain all this amazing goodness at this all-inclusive hotel. And it was hard, you know, because... You get really full, and then you try to go live in the pool with luxury, and you're like cramping up and drowning and stuff. Kids are splashing water at your face, you know, and you're hating kids, and you're telling your wife, I never want to have kids. You're hitting the kids, you know, and trying to enjoy life. I'm just kidding. That was a lie, but I did drown. No, I didn't. But. The hard thing at this all-inclusive resort is that you feel like you could stay for so long because there's so much at this resort that you can't really experience and receive all that it has to offer, you know? And, you know, about, I don't know how long ago it was now, probably when I was 14, I went on a cruise. I went down to Fort Lauderdale, Florida with my family. And me and my little brother, who's sitting right back there, my other little brother went on this cruise of Princess Cruise, a huge cruise ship, okay? Actually, it was one of the biggest that had been made. And so we're on this humongous cruise ship. And another example where you just cannot, in 7 days, experience all that that cruise ship had to offer. I remember some of the things we would do is there were so many pools. I mean, pools everywhere. I only swam in probably a tenth of the pools, and we're there for 7 days. There are pools everywhere. Ten pools, so I swam one pool. Poos everywhere. It was crazy. So we'd swim a lot, and one of the days we got pretty high seas, about 13-foot seas. And 13-foot seas, well, it was about 10 foot. They said They said that there could be 13, but they're about 10 foot. And that can get really bad. People can throw up and everything. Well, me and my little brothers were in the pools, and these pools were really big. And you would just sit there, and literally, I don't know if you guys have been on a cruise ship and done this before, but the water would, like, if you're holding a glass in your hand, you go like this, and the water kind of goes up and then back down. And you know how you sit in a bathtub, and the water goes, and then comes right back. Well, imagine being in a pool with the water doing that. So you're like standing there, and the water's at your ankles, and then 20-foot walls just coming and just picking you up and making you a flip. And like all day, we just sit in this pool. Do you remember that, Jordan? That was the most amazing thing. You couldn't really experience to the fullest what you're experiencing. You know, you've been there where you do something, you're in the moment of something, you can't really grasp how amazing that something is. Do you know what I'm saying? Some of you try to figure out my message. Just get on the story, man. I'm not trying to be spiritual. I'm just trying to tell a story. You guys are too spiritual for me tonight. But you know what I mean? And I remember, part of it, there's so many, you call it kind of a surreal moment where you're just like, is this really happening? This is unbelievable. Another one of those things was we were at the front of the cruise ship, there was a basketball court, and they had a bunch of ghetto orange rubber basketballs. And they had many of them. They probably had 20 of them. And, well, me and my little brothers were one of the only probably 8 people under the age of 18 there. And so we were always at this little basketball court, and we were shooting and shooting. Well, one of the things about this court is that it had a dome, but the dome only went so high, and then it was just open. And so you're driving this boat, and I don't know how fast these boats go, but you figure it out. We're out in the middle of the ocean going really fast, and we were playing, and one time I just shot it really high, and the ball just went flying, and it goes over the balcony and hits the water. And so we thought that was fun, so we started doing it. Oh, we just stick the balls and just throw them in the air and just watch the wind take it and throw it out. We try to see how far we could get the balls to go and stuff into the ocean. And so you can accuse us for killing the whales and stuff. That's horrible. That was just fun. And then we ran out of basketballs. And this basketball court was also kind of a tennis court, so we started doing it with little tennis balls. You know? Do you remember that? Anyway, man, that was fun. I just remember that. So anyway, back to my message. No, I'm just kidding. When we left the cruise ship, we were kind of like, man, I feel like we didn't get experience everything. We just ate all the time and sat in the pool, and because that's what most people do, you know. And we're like, well, we should go check out the place. You know, we had like an hour left, and so we're running and we're starting to see all these like free massage places massage things and other like restaurants that I didn't even knew existed. Types of food that like I learned about Thai food on this cruise, and they had comedy shows all day long and classes and other these things happened, and they were all free and all included. I didn't even know about it. One of the things that showed us is on the there was a map, and it showed you all the things that it had. We never saw the map. It was right in our bedroom, but we were just never there. And they said that there was a mini golf course on the stinking cruise. And so we're like ticked off. And so we run up and go find this, you know, huge like mini putt golf course thing that's there. And it was about, half the size of this room on a cruise ship, you know. And we just never got to enjoy it.
Good word. Yeah.
So let's pray and do an altar call, and Reed can pray for me. And just kidding. And the reality is, now I'm switching to spirituality.
Yeah, hold on.
Is God has given us and promised us so many promises that you can't even contain them. But I want to try to do everything I can to contain as much as I possibly can. See, I made a mistake by not going and looking for that for all that this ship had to offer. I made a mistake by not doing everything I possibly could to grow in my understanding of what this ship and what this honeymoon and this hotel and all of that was included had to offer. I made a mistake by not going to see what it had to offer. I just took the minimal. Sometimes as Christians, we do that. Well, I tried Christianity. And Christianity to them was just going to church. Brothers and sisters, friends, church and Christianity is so much more than going to a service. And if that's what you're doing, then you're simply sitting inside of a pool, allowing it to throw you back and forth and not experiencing the fullness of what God has for you. You know, if the extent of your faith and your walk with God is just reading your Bible, you are only really sitting at one restaurant when God has so much more for you. I am in love with my Bible, and I read my Bible all day. Today, I woke up 8 o'clock, and I read my Bible all day long, just reading and studying. I love my Bible, but there's so much more to this life than just reading my Bible in the morning and then doing everything else. This Bible, for sure, has all things that I need in it, but it's something that gives me direction. It's something that gives me insight and understanding in what I have in Christ and in God and how to live this life now. This is a manual on how to live my life and how to experience all that God has for me. And if I don't take all that God has for me, and if I don't take it, and if I don't take it for all that He is, then I'm missing out. And I can't condemn myself, and you shouldn't condemn yourself and be mad at yourself because one blessing is good enough. And hey, I mean, if I get to sit in a pool all day, that's cool. But what if there's more? What if you die and you realize there's so much more God had for you to do? What if this life isn't just about singing songs and listening to a preacher? Do you know what I mean? And there is more than that. There's more than just having peace in your heart, and that promise is probably one of my favorite promises, is that in the midst of trials and tribulations and hard times, I can have peace in my heart. That's an amazing promise. But there's another promise about joy. What if I didn't experience the promise of joy? You know, I think the greatest promise that we have is a promise of forgiveness. And that's where we all start, but we all stop, most of us stop there. That my life starts and begins with just forgiveness. Well, I'm forgiven, and I'm going to do what I want to do. No, you just started at forgiveness. That is an amazing promise, and that's the baseline of our relationship with God, is that He has forgiven us. Acts chapter 2, and verse 38, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized for the remission," or for the blotting out of all of your sins, for the forgiveness of your sins. And then in 3:19, he says the same thing. And then he says, "And you will follow the Lord, and at times of refreshing will come." But that was just the beginning. That was just the start of your life. It would be like me walking into a hotel, an all-inclusive hotel, and standing there and drinking a virgin margarita and looking at everything for 2 weeks. That's dumb, huh? And you think I'm weird. My goal and my heart's desire in this life is to seek out all that God has for me. My goal and my dream and my desire in this life is to draw closer and closer to God and to seek out all that He has for me. And if all that He has for me is just to come to more revelation of how good He is, then that's good enough. People ask the question, what's the point of being obedient and living for God? What's the point of that? And people would say, well, you get a reward in heaven. I disagree. Yeah, sure, you can have your reward in heaven. But the best reward is to know Jesus Christ and to know the Father and to know the Holy Spirit. That is our greatest reward. And there's so much in and of them that is bigger than us that we cannot completely contain in and of ourselves. And I challenge and test you to see what He has for you. And simply the knowledge of who He is. I love this story in Luke 5 because it gives us a picture of Christianity. I guess my question is, do you have faith to catch all that God has for you? Do you have faith to catch all that He has for you? Man, God has declared to you that you're forgiven. Folks, that's just one little fish. But that's probably the most important fish, if I could say the least. That's a big fish. You need to eat that fish. Many of you here tonight, if you don't understand and if you don't learn how to simply receive forgiveness, you won't go anywhere else. And many of you here tonight are stuck at that one thing. Am I forgiven? And you walk in condemnation, and now you're reading your Bible and you're praying and you're doing good things is to try to attain confidence. It's to try to attain a righteousness of your own work. When all God wants you to do is to receive the reality that you are forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
You are forgiven in Christ. He has blotted out your transgression and your sins by faith in Him. I'm forgiven. And if I'm not, then I don't care about this. Because then everything else is in vanity. If I'm not forgiven, and if I have to do something to attain my forgiveness, I don't want it because I can't. I'm a sinful man. I can't do it in my own strength. You can tell me I'm a good person, but I disagree. I'm not a good person. I need God's help. I need Him to forgive me. I need Him to show me mercy. I need Him to wash me clean and to start me new. But folks, that's just one promise. You're forgiven. And today I encourage you to just have faith at least to catch that one fish. To live with that one promise. If you just live with that one promise, at least that one promise, you'll go a lot further and you'll have a lot more peace and a lot more joy. But God's got another promise. Another promise is that He says He's always with you. That's a good promise, isn't it? You know, Moses and Joshua, when they were going to, Moses was going to deliver the Israelites, deliver the Israelites out of Egypt, the Jews. He says, if you don't go with me, Lord, I'm not going. And Joshua, God tells Joshua, God says, hey, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. I am with you, and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's another promise for you that you need to continue to receive and to walk in day out. See, this is the truth of this story, is that God is promising a big catch for you. There is a big catch for you that's bigger than what you can contain. Now, do you have faith? Now, what I would have probably done is said, Jesus, how big is this? How much fish is coming? Because I would have probably had my friends ready to help me catch this fish. Other translations say that Jesus says, cast your net into the deep because there's a big catch coming. There is so much that God has already promised you. But your part is to have faith and receive all that He has for you. Your part is to put your net into the water and to catch all them fish. You don't got to bring the forgiveness. He brings it. You don't have to bring sanctification. That's a big word. But that word simply means to in a process to become more like God. To be sanctified. To be transformed into His image. That's a process. I am not perfectly in the image of Christ yet. And I say yet because one day, in the twinkling of an eye, I will see and behold my Savior, and I will be like him, the Bible says. But from now until then, he is sanctifying me. That's good news, huh? I should be more holy today than I was yesterday. See, but that's a fish that I have received. But many people just stay in forgiveness. Oh, I'm just forgiven. Well, wait a minute. You're also sanctified in Christ. And as you hold on to that, and as you hold on to him, and as you continue to receive the reality that he gives it to you, you just have to receive it by faith, then you walk in sanctification. I love what Peter says. He says, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Isn't that the reality? Isn't the reality that you toil all day, all night, do everything you possibly can, but you ain't going to catch any promises of your own working? But man, what about when we just listen to him and say, oh, he's saying he's going to give me these promises. He's going to give me forgiveness. He's going to give me himself to dwell in me. He's going to give me peace. He's going to give me joy. He's going to give me all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's going to give me the ability to partake of his divine nature, to walk in him and with him. Are you with me? He's going to give me these things. So what's my part? What do I do, God? You just put your net over the boat and catch all that I'm giving you. Man, I'm telling you, there's more than you can contain, but I'm telling you to contain all you can get in this life now. Because you're going to get to heaven, and then Ephesians chapter 2 says that God is going to show the exceedingly abundant riches that are for his people in the ages to come, and they don't even know what they're like. They can't even grasp what they're like. It also says in Romans that no man, no one has seen or heard what God has prepared in advance for those who love him. There is fishes. Is that a word? There are fish for you to catch. There are blessings and promises for you to receive. And they're not going to come by working. What in the world? They're not going to come. Is there a devil in that thing? All right, focus. Devil's bringing distraction. Cast out that devil. Get it, Tom. Now I got to start my message. I wasn't even using my notes yet. Check this out. God has promised you so much. Let me ask you a question, and you can answer. How do you receive those promises? Faith. By faith. That's a good answer, Nate.
Yeah.
Man, give him a token. No. He'll get his token in heaven. I just stole it, though. God has already... Check this out. Peter's chilling. Jesus is like, hey, there's some fish coming. All right. He said, take your nets and throw them overboard. He's like, all right. And so many fishes came. I know it's fish, but I like saying fishes. It's fun. Stay focused. So many fishes came that they couldn't even contain it. Too many fishes. Kind of like too many mooses and meeses. The key is this. Is it by your toiling and your working and your laboring, nothing's coming. Nothing's coming. But when Jesus says, hey, Peter, you couldn't catch any blessings by yourself. So I'm telling you, now's the time to put your net into the water. You know what? In the daytime, it wasn't the best time to fish. That's why they fished at nighttime, because that was the best time to fish. They'd fish all night because that was the best time to fish. And so in these fishermen's eyes, which, by the way, they're professionals, that doesn't make sense. You know, grace doesn't make sense to us. As humans, we want to work and do everything we can to attain all that we can get. But if you do that, you ain't getting nothing. What I do when I wake up in the morning, I say, God, thank you that you love me. God, I thank you that I'm already forgiven. I thank you that I'm already seated in heavenly places. God, I thank you you've already given me all things pertaining to life and to godliness. God, I thank you that you're with me and that you never leave me and that you never forsake me. God, I thank you that you stand before Jesus. You stand before the Father. And if I fall, you plead my case and you forgive me. God, these are my promises, and I'm not a spoiled little brat. I'm just a son of God, and I'm going to walk in it with confidence. This is why the Bible can say that the righteous are bold as a lion. And in Hebrews 4, it says to come boldly to the throne room of grace. Because you've already received all those things. You just got to know how to declare it and walk it out. You know how you walk it out? You just toss your net over the side and you catch it all. And you study this word to see what you got. I don't want to steal. I want you to search out what you have. I want you to search out what are the promises that God has given you. We need to be people that meditate on what God's promises are. Because without God's promises, once again, we do everything in vanity. In other words, with no effect. We have no effect. My working is in vain. But if God has a promise, then I put my faith to action according to that promise, and I receive His promises. God says that He is always with me. God says that I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. That's my faith. So therefore, the power of God that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in my mortal body.
Right.
Now, I don't have anything more than anybody else. And nobody has more. As Christians, we all have the same promises. Different callings, same promises. And our job is to learn how to understand, to acknowledge all those good promises and to walk in them. There's so many things. There's so many promises. And we're working for things. We're good at working for things. We don't know how it is to receive things. That's why I like nets. You know, nets don't do anything but sit in the water and receive the fish. Or the fishes. They just receive. We need to stick out our nets more often and just catch what God's given us. Folks, you don't have to work for righteousness. The Bible says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus already. You don't have to work to be glorified. In other words, to become when you die, you go somewhere, right? Well, our hope is that we go to heaven, right? Well, you know, when you die, you have no working in it, that you just die and you appear somewhere. You don't get to choose. You appear somewhere. And we don't have to work for our appearing before God because He's promised that we're going to be glorified in Him. That's a promise. You know, I think our problems as Christians are not that we have too many problems. It's just that we don't know what we have. You know what I mean? We just don't know what we got. I know I've been teaching so many things that line up with this type of thinking, and I've been stuck on this idea of you just acknowledging, you just realizing, you just recognizing. And you say, well, Gary, that's cool, but what's my part? Yeah, you just keep realizing, you just keep recognizing, you just keep acknowledging. And as you do that, just walk in those promises, and you're doing the will of God. Look, Christianity is it's simple. It has to be simple. If God's complicated, then we've made a mistake by thinking He's complicated. God's not complicated. God's simple. And He simply gives you things. He gives you promises. And He just says, son, daughter, they're yours. Some of you still are looking at me the same way you looked at me when I first started preaching. And that's not okay. And what I mean by that is this. Do you realize that you're forgiven? Start smiling. There you go. Do you realize that you were, by nature, an object? Now, I'm going to hurt somebody maybe, but this is good. This will challenge you. But if you get the full revelation of this, then it's going to encourage you. You are an object of wrath. An object of wrath. I'm just... Ephesians 2:2-3. By default. You can say that. By default, I'm an object of God's wrath. But. It's a big but. But God, who is rich. Somebody say rich.
Rich.
Come on, say it again.
Rich.
God, who is rich in mercy. Can we just thank God for His mercy? God, who is rich in mercy, has made you alive, and you're no longer an object of God's wrath, but you're an object of God's blessing. Yeah. He didn't just kind of balance it out and say, well, now you're not a wrath. I'm just going to hit you a little bit here and there and then kind of give you some good things. No, you went from the object of wrath to an object of blessing and promises of goodness. Now you should smile more. You should laugh more. You should have more fun. You should worship with joy and thankfulness. You should smile more. But see, you know what we do? We clean up our nets. We clean up our receivers. And we say it doesn't work. We just clean it up. And we go, I can't, what do you mean? And we get stuck in the reality that we don't think we have anything.
Well, I just got no fishes.
I know it's fish. I like calling them fishes. Because those two girls in the back wouldn't be listening if I didn't say fishes. Yeah. I'm just kidding. I know who they are.
Aubrey.
Stop. It's Brittany.
So, are you with me? You understand what I'm trying to throw at you? I'm throwing at you God's blessings. My job is to remind you about the goodness of God. My job is to encourage you that when you walk out of here, you're not discouraged because of the things you go through. Now, I'm not saying that I can talk about whatever I want to talk about. And I want to talk about the goodness of God and His promises toward you so that when you leave in, by encouraged in your faith and in your hope and in love, that you walk away inspired to live a godly life because God has given you all things that you need. I love 1 Peter to kind of end, and I don't even want to end because I just like talking about this kind of stuff. 2 Peter. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We should start our prayers off more. God, I receive the multiplication of your grace and of your peace. Now those words are not just magical words, friends. Those words are important words. You know what was revealed to us in Jesus? Grace. Now grace was shown us in Christ. Christ is the picture of grace. John 1. Law came through Moses, grace through Jesus Christ. And we receive grace, check this out, upon grace, upon grace. You guys ever heard that before? Grace upon grace. And you know what? If you would read it correctly, if we would read it literally as the Greek was writing it, when it says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And right before that it says, and of His fullness we have all received grace for grace. And in the Greek, it could be said this way. You have received grace upon grace upon grace, upon grace, upon grace, upon grace, and some fishes, upon grace, upon grace, upon grace, upon grace, infinitely, upon grace. Check this out. Our part is to have faith. You might not feel it. Peter wasn't feeling them fishes, but he acted out of faith and them fishes was coming. So he took that net and he tossed it over the boat. And he caught him fishes. Come on. You got to act in faith and believe the promises of God are for you. For you. Amen. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of whether or not you're going to take your net, take your receiver, and toss it over the boat and receive all them promises of God. Yeah. You know what? You do yourself good every morning. So wake up and read Ephesians chapter 1 through Ephesians chapter 2. Yeah, just read the whole book. Good book. It goes on and on about all the things that we have in Christ. Then look at Colossians 1. Another really good book about all the things we have in Christ. Look at all the promises. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 6, it says that we inherit the promises by faith and patience. Guys, let me say it this way. The fish were in the water. They were available because Jesus said it. All they had to do was put their net in the water to receive that which was available. There are so much and there are so many blessings and promises that are available to you already. You just have to have faith to receive them. I like Bill Johnson says, I've heard this recently, that faith is the currency of heaven. To me, this makes sense. That God has so much stored up for you. And the way you purchase it is by faith. Oh, well, that's mine. And that's mine. And if I don't feel joy, well, by golly, I just go, ha ha. And I just start laughing. And I receive joy because joy is mine. And if I'm struggling, and though I might get all teared up and weep and get sorrowful, I can still in that place find joy. Because joy is not about what I feel. Joy is in my position of who I am in Jesus Christ. That I am saved, that I am going to heaven, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I can have peace, joy and peace, important things, grace, God's power working in me. I can just keep going on and on about all the things that God has for you. But I challenge and encourage you to seek this out, to see what God has for you, and to challenge you to receive those things. You need to be more, you know, like that on Finding Nemo. Mine. Now, aren't we glad we don't have one little crab that we're fighting over?
Yeah.
I love the crabs. I'm, you know, God's blessings are not fighting against us. Man, them are mine. And I take them. Not because I'm a spoiled brat, but because I am righteous in Christ. Let me say this. Now, this might mess up some of your theology, but it's good for you. This is the Bible. Before Jesus, you deserved wrath. Okay? Say, uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
But now in Jesus, you deserve a blessing. You deserve a blessing. Now, this is hard for me to receive because I don't think I deserve a blessing. But by faith, if I'm in Christ, then I deserve a blessing because I'm in Christ. I don't deserve a blessing by what I've done. I deserve a blessing because I'm in Christ. I don't deserve a blessing because I pray a lot. I deserve a blessing because I'm in Christ. I don't deserve a blessing because I read my Bible all the time. I receive and I have a blessing and I take that blessing. I deserve a blessing because I'm in Christ. You with me?
Yeah.
I think you might be the only one that gets it. But I'll try and do it later. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You deserve a blessing. Now don't get all self-righteous and prideful. Because what happens is people are like, well, I'm just a horrible, sinful person. Stop saying you're a horrible, sinful person. You know what faith says? Faith declares that they are righteous. I should not speak bad things about myself. I should not put myself down. I have been recreated and born again into the image of Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've said that about 10 times. And you need to start saying it about yourself. When you get tempted, you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah,
buddy. You see what I'm saying? When you start getting frustrated, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Woo! You deserve a blessing. You hear what I said? You deserve a blessing. You need to think a little bit more positively about how good your God is. And about how good He's made you. And how He's turned a poor apple into a good apple. And how He has blessed you and given you so much. Are you guys with me? I can't tell if you're antsy, if you're just excited. You want me to keep going?
Keep going.
So excited.
Keep
going.
Come on, girl.
I love it.
Oh my goodness. I guess my biggest heart and my biggest passion is that you would understand how simple it is to receive all that God has for you. My biggest passion is to get you to walk out your own faith day in and day out. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you, you can't do this and you can't do that. You know, you probably never hear me talk about the things you can't do. How often do you hear me talk about those things? I don't. What I talk about is how good God is. I talk about that you ought to know Him. I talk about that He is the most important person, being, that you can ever come in a relationship with. And if you do, and if you pursue Him relentlessly and rest in Him and what He's accomplished for you and so many other things within that perspective, you have all that you need. Jesus Christ is sufficient for all that you need. And while you're in Christ, have fun. Enjoy your life. Don't be a sinner. You're just being a hypocrite. If you're living in sin, you're not the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Faith without works is dead. We have to understand that if we put in our faith in God, then we ought to live righteously. Amen?
That's right.
Amen.
But don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up. Praise God.
Praise God.
Woo! Now, when I lift my hand above my head, what do you guys do? Praise God. Well, I think we're going to leave with that. I'm going to pray and close, and we're going to have some time of fellowship and hanging out. Can I say this one more time? Let's do our part. Our part is to, by faith, receive the promises of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, would you just pray with me? Come on, pray with me. Stand up, actually. Stand up. Stand up. By golly. Jeepers and Christmas. Catch him. Come on, let's just start to thank Him right now. Just thank Him for those blessings. Come on, we need to do more thanking and less searching. Lord, I thank You for Your blessings, God. God, I thank You that I'm forgiven. God, I thank You that I'm declared righteous. God, I thank you that we are called your children, Lord. God, I thank you that I'm blessed. And I'm called to be blessed. God, I thank you for your people. God, I thank you, Lord, that they are your people. God, that they are chosen by your mercy and your grace, Lord. And God, you've shown yourself to them, God. And God, I'm asking, Lord, that they would continue to understand how good you are. God, I don't want to pray that you bless them. I pray they'd understand how blessed they are in you. God, that we would understand how blessed and how privileged and honored we are to have such a good and amazing Father who loves us. And all the amazing promises that He has already given us. And Father, we choose by faith to receive those good and precious promises that are our inheritance in Christ. Father, we thank you for them. And God, that's where my attitude comes from. Let our attitudes come from that understanding, God, that we are already blessed. Father, I thank you for your people. God, I thank you, Lord, that I don't have to ask for your favor. I declare that your favor already rests on them. I don't ask for your blessing. Your blessing rests on your people. Father, we love you. And God, we declare your praises because you've given us so many good things, God. But most importantly, you've given us relationship with you. So God, we love you. We bless you. We praise you. God, I'm asking what Paul asked, God, for the church at Ephesus, God, that you'd give your people, including myself, the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation and the knowledge of you. God, that you would give us understanding and revelation of how good you are and who you are, of how deep and wide your love is, God, of how great your promises are, God, of how faithful you are to the end, God, of how you don't never make a mistake. You cannot lie. If you promise, you will complete. If you started a good thing, you will finish a good thing, God. You are faithful, and that is our hope, Lord. And Father, we thank you. Lord, that's why it helps us understand why Paul says to give thanks always. It makes sense to always give thanks because we already have everything we need in you. We're sufficient. We got the full deal at the moment of being reborn and born again. Lord, we have all that we need. Father, I pray your people be encouraged and not discouraged. I pray, God, you destroy the devourer who try to come and steal and kill and destroy your people. And God, that you would stop his lying mouth, God, and cause our minds to be renewed and understand what we have in you. Father, we thank you. God, we lift up your name. God, you alone are worthy. God, you alone are holy. And God, you alone are good. So God, we worship you. Help us to be people that honor you and respect you and to glorify you in all that we do. God, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 There's so much more to say, but just receive them fishes. I love you. We'll see you next Thursday night. Hey, bring some people. We're going to party in Narnia.